You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
KW Boyce, thanks for dining.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, good morning, everyone. We're on the record on case CR 22211623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell, continuing evidence with the state's case in chief. The state just concluded with a witness yesterday afternoon, and I believe intends to call another witness this morning. I'll note the prosecution's all here represented, as well as the defendant and defense counsel. Is the state ready to proceed today?
Yes, Your Honor.
Defense ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor, and I got the microphone on this time.
All right, thank you, Mr. Pryor. If the parties are ready, then I'll go ahead and have the bailiffs please have the jurors brought in.
All right. Your Honor, the jury is present and accounted for.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. All right, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, thank you for returning today. The court notes all the jurors are here present and accounted for and properly seated. The court's also received and reviewed a juror affirmation from each one of the 18 jurors indicating they have followed the court's admonishment to not investigate or look into the case over the break. So thank you for following that instruction again. I'll submit those admonishments to the court clerk. I will also indicate one other thing to the jury. As just after the jury was impaneled, I believe a question may have arisen about how it works having alternates, because there are 12 jurors who will ultimately determine the case. And of course, we have extra jurors just given the length of this trial. I'll note that the way alternates are, the process is clearly defined under Idaho Criminal Rule 24. And I'll just read a portion of that to make it clear to you that says, at the conclusion of closing arguments, jurors exceeding the number required of a regular panel must be removed by lot. So in other words, there's a random drawing that would occur. So all of you must consider yourselves to be jurors in this evidence portion of the case. And if additional jurors remain once the case is submitted for deliberations, that would just be determined by a random draw, essentially, is what lot means. So I wanted to clarify that for the jurors so that someone didn't believe possibly they knew who the alternates would be or would not be. No one will know that until it's time to begin deliberations. So with that in mind, then, the court would indicate the state is still in its opening argument at this, I'm sorry, in its case in chief with presenting evidence. And I understand the state was going to be calling Detective Consitis as its next witness. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Mr. Wood, are you going to be examining the witness?
I will be.
All right, Mr. Wood, you can call your witness.
And the state calls Chuck Consitis.
You solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you.
All right, Detective Consitis, you've been sworn now. Before you begin testifying, I just want to inquire. This trial is being live streamed on the court's channel, and I wanted to inquire as to whether or not you have viewed any of the testimony or the trial proceedings before your testimony today.
I have not.
Okay, thank you for that. Mr. Wood, you can inquire on direct.
Thank you, Your Honor. Before I do, just briefly, I met with the court and counsel yesterday about some logistics for Detective Consitis's testimony, and I spoke about having a copy of his exhibits with him. That copy right now is by my desk. I didn't want to put it up there until the court started, and so I'd ask if the court and counsel are still all right with those logistics that he be handed that box of exhibits.
All right. Mr. Pryor, will note we did discuss that in a sidebar. There's a large volume of pages in these exhibits, and does the defense have any objection to those being available to the witness as we go through admissions of those exhibits? All right. There is no objection then. So, Mr. Wood, if you'd like to go ahead and provide the witness with those exhibits, as each, though, is offered, just make sure to make a clear record of what's being proffered, and we'll go through whatever becomes admitted.
Detective, can you state your name and spell your last name for the record?
My name is Chuck Kunsaitis. The last name spelling is K-U-N-S-A-I-T-I-S.
What is your occupation?
I'm employed as a police officer at the city of Rexburg.
And what is your title?
I'm a detective sergeant in the investigations division.
How long have you been a detective?
Since 2011.
And what did you do prior to that?
I was in the patrol division and as an acting patrol supervisor at one point before moving to the investigations.
Are you post-certified?
I am. Graduated post-class 131.
And what is post?
It's the police academy.
And in your role as an officer, have you continued receiving training over the last or during your career?
Yes, I have. I've been had education and training in drug and narcotics, investigations, missing persons, death investigations, financial crimes.
Detective, how did you become involved in the case regarding Tylee Ryan, J.J. Vallow, Tammy Daybell, and Chad Daybell?
In November 27th of 2019, I was aware that then Detective Ramasil, who's now a lieutenant, he was conducting search warrants at three different locations at the Rock Creek townhomes at 565 Pioneer Road. I believe the apartment numbers were 174, 175, and 107.
And did you aid in that search?
I was not a part of the original service of the warrants. I did show up on scene later in the afternoon and checked in with Detective Hermosillo and asked if I could be of any assistance.
On that day, did you obtain a search warrant for a storage unit?
I did. Detective Hermosillo had me walk through apartment 175 just to see if there's any evidentiary items of value that may have been missed. I located a in the master bedroom of 175, which was the apartment that Lori Vallow was currently living in. There was a printer in the bedroom, and on the printer there was an invoice for a storage unit from the Self Storage Plus in Rexburg.
And did you, so you obtained a warrant?
Oh, yes,
for
I
that
obtained a warrant for storage unit number C-52.
And did you execute that warrant?
I did.
What did you find?
There was, and it was a medium-sized unit, and there was only a bin, a tote bin with some items of like a baseball glove, some ice skates, some photo albums, and a couple of bicycles and a scooter. There wasn't a lot of content inside the storage unit.
All right. Detective, at any time in your investigation, did you have occasion to write a warrant for a P.O. box in Sugar City, Idaho?
I did. In late December of 2019, I got information from Gilbert Police Department in Arizona that Lori Vallow had a P.O. box in Sugar City, Idaho, just outside of Rexburg.
And so you wrote a warrant for that?
I did.
Did you execute it?
I did.
What did you find in executing that warrant?
There was a large bundle of unopened mail, approximately 100 pieces or so. They were addressed to both Lori Vallow and her then husband, Charles Vallow, who was deceased, and her brother, Alex Cox.
All right. And going through that, did you find anything of interest to your investigation?
Yes, there were several pieces of mail that were from financial institutions. There were cell phone bills. There were letters from the IRS and Social Security Administration.
And based on what you found, did you obtain a warrant for any other mail?
Yes. Around that same time, the owner of apartment 107 of the Rock Creek townhomes, I believe his name is Stephen Cruz, he had contacted the police department and said there was some abandonment.
Your Honor, I think it goes to the question of why he did what he did.
I'm just, well, in terms of what he said specifically, I'll sustain the objections here, saying.
Detective, without saying what anybody else told you, did you write another warrant for mail?
Yes, there was some abandoned mail that was turned into the police department from apartment 107.
Based on what you found in those warrants for the mail. Did you serve any other warrants or subpoenas?
Yes, we served several warrants and subpoenas to different financial institutions and the cellular device companies.
What was you said financial records, correct?
Yes.
What was the purpose of obtaining financial records in your investigation?
Well, in we're a missing person case, and so there's a lot of information you can glean from going through financial records. It's not just how much money is in the account. You can look through the account to see if it's a regularly used account, if it's a business account, a savings account. You also get a kind of a peek into the life on how people spend their money, if they're eating out a lot or if they are just paying bills. You can kind of get an understanding of how people go about their daily lives.
Detective, regarding Lori Vallow-Daybell and Tylee Ryan, did you create a list of financial institutions upon which you served a warrant for aid in your testimony at this trial?
I did.
And did you do that in anticipation of testifying before this jury?
Yes.
Did you prepare that list to aid the jury in knowing which financial institutions you're speaking about and to help them keep track of them?
Yes.
Do you believe that demonstrative list would so aid the jury?
I do.
Your Honor, I'd ask that the witness be handed or look at State's Exhibit 62.
All right. Is that one of the ones that's in the box?
Yes.
Okay. Detective, if you want to locate Exhibit 62.
Detective, do you recognize that?
Yes. It's a financial account attribution list that I created.
Is this the same demonstrative list that we were just speaking about?
Yes.
And is it a true and accurate representation of what you created?
Yes.
Your Honor, for demonstrative purposes, I'd ask that Exhibit 62 be entered into evidence.
Any objection?
No.
And may I publish?
Yes, Exhibit 62 is admitted.
Detective, is there a pointer?
Yes.
There. Can you walk the jury through the accounts that you are going to be talking about?
Okay, so on this page, we're going to be, or just specifically for Lori Vallow, Daybell, and Tylee Ryan. Again, having served several subpoenas and warrants, we're looking through everything. We were able to narrow it down to these particular accounts that are pertinent to the investigation.
And I didn't realize that wasn't all showing. And so you had accounts for Tylee Ryan as well?
Yes.
All right.
Would you like me to go over them briefly?
Yes, please.
Okay. So the top account there, it's a J.P. Chase Bank. It's a joint account with Charles Vallow. And the number on the end right over here is just the account number, just the last four. There was another account through J.P. Chase that was a joint account that Lori had with her daughter, Tylee. There was an additional J.P. Morgan Chase account that she shared with Charles Vallow. This was another kind of a business account. And then we learned that there was a personal account through the BBVA Compass account that Lori had created for herself. And then at a later time, she created a joint account with Tylee through the BBVA. And then the next are credit cards. There's a Barclays Hawaiian credit card joint account that Lori Vallow shared with Charles. And they were each issued a card, and you see Lori had a card 6611, and Charles had a card was 0991. There's a Barclays bank account, a credit card that we found that Alex, who's Lori's brother, had opened up an account and actually had Lori on as a cardholder. And you see that Alex had two cards here, and then Lori had a card in the last four numbers, and that card was 9259. We have an additional First Hawaiian Bank account that Lori had. And the last two we see here are Chase Southwest Air, the PFS marketing credit card. The PFS is a premier financial service. That was the business account that Charles Vallow had. He was an owner of a financial service. And then we had the National Life Insurance of the Southwest. Lori had a policy that she took out for personal reasons for $2 million. And just below that, the Tylee Ryan attributions, the same ones that were up on top under Lori's name, but we just put them under her name. So there's the J.P. Chase Morgan account, the 3918. This is an account she had while she was living in Arizona before they moved to Idaho. And then Lori opened up an account with Tylee when they got to just before they moved to Idaho. And Tylee was the she had a Jeep Wrangler that Charles Vallow had purchased, and Tylee was making payments on. So we created that there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Your Honor, I'd ask that the witness look at State's Exhibit 63. And 63 has several subparts.
Okay. Make sure to identify those subparts then. And Detective Consitis, you can locate that exhibit, please.
Thank you.
And Your Honor, I'd note for the record that 63 itself is a business record affidavit. And so this document comes in by way of stipulation.
All right. Exhibit 63 then. Give me a moment. We'll take a look at that also. All right, so 63 is just the affidavit, not the attached records, which are subparts that are marked with letters in addition to 63. Is there any objection to the admission of 63, the affidavit? Very well. Exhibit 63 is admitted.
Thank you. Detective, can you look at, and may I, Your Honor, my understanding is that once that's admitted, all parts of this exhibit are admitted, and may I publish those?
Okay. And okay. So that would include then
63A through 63I.
Okay. I've got through H. Maybe there's.
We'll make sure we get a copy of that.
Okay.
And then well, does counsel have a copy of it?
Okay. I have a courtesy copy up through 63H, but you're saying there's also an I?
Yes.
Okay. So exhibits 63A through I are also admitted then.
Thank you. Detective, will you look at what's been marked as State's Exhibit 63A. What is that?
This is a electronic signature card for the account of a J.P. Chase Morgan, the 0769 account.
What is the significance of that account to your investigation?
So we learned that this account was an everyday account that both Charles and Lori utilized while living in Arizona. And we know that with this account is specifically interacts with Tylee's joint account when they're moving monies, transferring monies from account to account.
All right. When you look at State's Exhibit 63B, do you know what that document is?
This is a sample of a monthly statements from the 0769 account from dating from June 10th through September, I believe, of 2019.
And this is the account ending in 0769, correct?
Correct.
And did you review all the documents that came in with that?
I did.
Mr. Wood, on that projector, there is actually a light that I think will remove the shadow. I can have a staff attorney assist you with that if you'd like.
That'd be great. Thank you. Are there regular deposits into that account?
There's no regular deposits into this account. They're sporadic at times. They're coming in. Monies are being transferred into this account from the 0377 account. But as far as having like a regular paycheck, having a direct deposit or something to that effect, there's nothing on like that on these accounts.
And just to clarify, this was at the jointly held account by Lori Vallow and Charles Vallow, correct?
Correct.
Detective, can you pull out what's been marked as State's Exhibit 63C? What is that document?
This is the signature card on the application for the account. Joint account for Lori Vallow and Tylee Ryan, the account that ends in 3918.
And this is a J.P. Chase Morgan account. And can you pull out what's been marked as 63D? What is that?
This is a sampling of monthly statements from Tylee's account from January of 2019 through, I believe, November of 2019 or October 2019.
Okay. And was there anything significant about this document to you in your investigation?
Yes, it it shows Tylee is very active on this account. She is spending money with her. She is receiving death benefit stipends in this account from her father, who Joe Ryan, who passed away April 3rd of 2018. So Tylee was receiving death benefits, and the death benefits were regularly deposited into this account. And Tylee was very active in this account.
When you say active...
Well, she was out spending money almost on a daily basis. She was going to convenience stores, gas stations, shopping centers, fast food.
And you stated this is the account she was receiving her Social Security payments in.
Correct.
And were those monthly?
They were. They appeared towards the end of the month since she first started receiving her benefits June 14th of 2018. And they were regularly occurring into this account.
And do you know how much she received?
In 2019, she was receiving $1,859 a month.
Detective, as you go through these records, are you able to tell the difference between what I'm going to call a brick-and-mortar payment or store, like a physical location, and online payments?
Yes. Kylie, the overwhelming majority of her spending habits occur in brick and mortar type establishments, and there are some online payments, but she's out spending money in physical places.
Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 63E? What is that document?
This is the partial monthly statement showing from August 23 of 2019 through September 3rd of 2019 for Tylee's 3918 Chase Morgan account.
And what is the significance of that document to your investigation?
Well, it still shows through August she is out actively spending money, and it also shows towards the end of the month. We look up on the screen here. So she's really active coming through here, and then when you get towards the 1st of September. And these, I just want to make a clarification here. On this outside row, that's the posting date. Inside on the statement, you'll see a date of 9-1. So it shows Tylee moving from Arizona, heading north. And this is the same time frame when they were moving to Idaho. And when you get down to the bottom of the page here, it shows that her last in-person use of a card was done in St. George, Utah on the 1st. There were two purchases at a McDonald's that day.
And is St. George between Rexburg and Maricopa County?
Yes, I'm sorry. For those that take it for granted, I'm sorry. St. George is one of the first cities you come to in Utah when you come up north out of Arizona as you're heading towards Idaho.
Was there any record of any money being deposited into that account after that date shown, the last date shown on that record?
No. So we had learned that in the middle of August, I believe it was August 16th, Lori, Tylee's mom, had contacted Social Security and had stopped having the monthly stipends deposited into Tylee's account. And she then switched those monies to be deposited in to her own personal account, Lori's personal account from the BBVA. So there were no more funds coming into this account at all.
Detective, can you look at what's been marked as State's Exhibit 63F? What is that document?
This is the checking summary for the date of September 20th, 2019 for Tylee's JP Chase account. And it's showing a $10.04 balance, and then it shows right underneath on the beginning balance, it has an electronic withdrawal for the same $10.04, bringing the ending balance to zero.
Does it show where that money was transferred to?
That money was transferred into Lori's 0769 account from the Chevy Chase.
Was there anything significant about that transaction to you in your investigation?
Yes, it Tylee had no more control over her monies in this account. And with the timeline that we had learned in this investigation of Tylee's last known sighting was between September 8th and September 9th, Lori was had closed out this account to there's no more use for it.
Detective, can you look at what's been marked as State's Exhibit 63G? And what is that document?
This would be it's an online administration tool for people who bank with J.P. Chase Morgan. They're issued a personal identification number, and they're allowed to go online, and they can conduct their transactions. And this is the page that indicates for Lori Vallow. It sets up with her personal PIN number for on Tylee's account. It shows that she can access Tylee's account.
And so did she and Tylee have separate identifying numbers?
They did.
Are they on that page?
They are. So if you look down to the middle of the page, well, we know it's Lori because she says Lori for style at iCloud.com right here. And it has Lori's name up here. But right here under personal ID and profile ID, it has a number. And the last four numbers on that are the 5132. So that's the number that's associated with Lori.
And is there a profile number for Tylee Ryan?
There is.
Can you point that out?
So if you were to go two more pages into this document, you'll see Tylee's name is highlighted up on top, and it has Tylee's email right there, TyleeRyan24@gmail.com. And if you go down to the profile ID just underneath that, it has a number right here. And the last four on those are 0212.
And Detective, what's the significance of those identifying numbers? Does it aid you in your investigation to know those?
Sure. It's specific to the user. So we have a general idea that it's the person who's logging in is using it. And it leaves a digital footprint so you can see where they're going and what they're doing within the banking of their account.
So if Lori Vallow were to go online and make a change to that account, it would show that it was her by her identifying number. Is that accurate?
Yes.
And is the same accurate if Tylee Ryan were to go online and make a change? It would show her identifying number.
Yes.
Thank you.
If you were to go to the next page, this page here is dated September 20th. And as we previously spoke to, the account closing on the 20th of September. If you look, if you could bring your, let's see. Okay, we're good. Right, no, bring it down just a little bit, please. There you go. Thank you. You'll see the profile ID number up here, the 5132. That's associated with Lori Vallow. And if you look to the bottom of the document, you'll see here on the left-hand side of the screen, you see the high school checking account belonging to Tylee. The 3918, and you see money's being transferred to, and here's the $10.04 that just shows that Lori went in and accessed Tylee's account and then moved monies over into her 0769 account, making it a zero balance.
And so just to clarify, Detective, you're able to verify that it was Lori that made that transaction by that identifying number?
Correct.
All right. And what was that date again?
September 20th of 2019.
Detective, can you look at what's been marked as State's Exhibit 63H?
This is a checking summary showing a zero balance on Tylee Ryan's 3918 J.P. Chase Bank.
And what's the date on that? Or I should say, is there a date on that?
I'm not seeing a date on it, but it would be for anything after September 20th.
All right. And can you look at what's been marked as State's Exhibit 63I?
63I is a signature card application page for J.P. Chase Morgan account for Charles Vallow and Lori Vallow. for the 0377 account.
And did you obtain that through a warrant or subpoena?
I did.
Did you provide that to any other law enforcement agency to review?
I did. I have some knowledge of this account, but I, the primary reviewer of this account was the Michael Douglas, FBI forensic accountant.
Detective, can you look at what's been marked as State's Exhibit 64A? Oh, Bailiff, I apologize. This was the first page to 63. And, Your Honor, I would just note for the record that State's Exhibit 64 is a business records affidavit, and that this document has subparts 64A through C. And to the State's understanding, this document comes in by way of stipulation.
All right, so 64 is admitted, and 64 A, B, and C are also all admitted.
All right.
And they may be published, Mr. Wood.
Thank you. Detective, what is what are the documents from State's, Exhibit 64?
These are summary of accounts for the BBVA Compass account ending in 3229 for Lori Vallow. It's a checking account that was opened in October of 2018.
Is Lori Vallow the sole user on this account?
She is.
And I believe you just said it was opened in October of 2018?
Correct. I believe the 20th.
And did you obtain this through a search warrant or through a subpoena?
I did.
And what was the significance of this account to your investigation?
Well, we learned through this account that this would be one of Lori's main accounts where she would be receiving future Social Security monies. We know that Tally's monthly stipend was being deposited into this account and would later receive stipends for death benefits for Charles Vallow as well, for both her and JJ.
And can you look at 64B? And what is that?
This is a sample portion of monthly statements for Lori's 3229 BBVA account from August of 2019 through, I believe, January of 2020.
Detective, I want to call your attention to a deposit made on August 28th. Can you see that?
I can.
What was that deposit? And if you can use a pointer to point it out to the jury.
So just below mid-page on the screen here, we see a credit for Social Security Treasury deposit for $1,859. This deposit is associated to Tally Ryan. And we know from when multiple deposits are made into a banking account from Social Security, so if there's more than one person receiving monies, they're given special identifiers so you can see which deposits belong to which person. So if we look here at Tally's, you see the reference and it has the X's, and then we see the 4121C1. So the 4121 is the last four numbers of Joe Ryan's Social Security number. His Social Security number is 14660-4121. And then the C1 is just it's a designated identifier for child. So it'd be Tylee being a child, a minor under 18, receiving death benefits from her biological father.
And that was the Joe Ryan.
Joe Ryan, correct.
Who you testified was deceased.
He was deceased. He was he died on April 3rd in 2018.
And so that's how you're able to identify that payment is assigned to Tylee Ryan, even though it's going into Lori Vallow's account at this point.
Correct.
And from your investigation, is this the first deposit of Social Security benefits for Tylee Ryan into this account?
Yes, this is the first deposit.
And where was Tylee Ryan receiving her Social Security benefits before that?
As stated, she was previously receiving them in her JP Chase account, which her mother has since closed down.
And again, what was the date of that deposit?
This was on August 28th of 2019.
And was there anything significant about that to you, about that date?
We learned that our investigation, we believe that Tylee was killed 10 days later.
I'm going to call your attention to a deposit made. It's on the third page of that document. Deposit made on September 18th. Are you able to locate that?
I am.
Can you, with your pointer, identify the deposits made on September 18th?
Yes. So there's two deposits made on that day. One in the amount of $3,902 and the second for $4,157. And you see them here towards the bottom of the page right here. They were deposits from the Social Security Administration, Treasury Department. And as you see the X's here, you have a different last four number, the 9801, and then you have a C1. And then on the next line down, you have the 9801E. So we can differentiate what deposit belongs to by looking at this top one here. We have the 9801. So Charles Vallow's Social Security number was 43602-9801. And we see the C1, so that would be for JJ. And that's the monies that were received. So we have on the next one down, we know it's for Lori because we have the 9801, but the letter E is just an identifier saying that she is the child in care or the guardian.
All right. And are those amounts, are those the regular monthly payments?
These are not. These are the initial installments that were she received back pay for both when she generated her paperwork back in August.
And Detective, was there anything significant about that deposit date to you?
Yes.
What is that?
JJ was killed a few days later, around the 22nd or 23rd.
Detective, you mentioned earlier that this account, this BBVA account, ending in 3229, received from August on all of the Social Security payments.
Yes.
And did you review this document for those payments?
I did.
Detective, did you prepare a chart, a demonstrative chart that shows all of Tylee Ryan's Social Security deposits?
I did.
Does that include both the JP Morgan account and BBVA account payments?
Yes.
Did you do that to aid this jury in understanding where and when those payments were made?
Yes.
Does it label the banks to which the deposits were made?
It does.
And did you prepare that in anticipation of testifying today?
I did.
Do you believe it would aid the jury in understanding the deposit history for Tylee Ryan's Social Security?
Yes.
Detective, can you look at State's Exhibit 84? Is that the document that we have been speaking about?
Yes.
And is that a true and accurate representation of the demonstrative chart you created?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'd ask that for demonstrative purposes, that State's Exhibit 84 be entered into evidence.
Any objection? All right. Exhibit 84 is admitted.
May I publish?
You may.
Detective, can you walk the jury through that chart?
Sure. This chart depicts Tylee Ryan's Social Security benefits. It's the history of her timeline. So they're up in the upper left-hand corner, there's three different colors on this legend. So the first one, the purple colored, it's a Social Security benefit, was deposited into the joint JP Chase Morgan. So this was Tylee's first account, the 3918. And then we have, on the second one, we have the benefit amount deposited into Lori's own personal account after we believe Tylee was killed. And then we have one that has some hash marks on it, and that shows that it was deposited for that month. But since Tylee was alive, we discount both those months, but they're just showing that deposits were made.
All right. And are there other dates on that chart?
Yeah. So on the first line, we have the date of 4/3/18. That's when Joe Ryan, Tylee's father, died. And then Tylee begins receiving benefits on the 14th of June. You see the large sum there. It's for her back pay, for lack of a better analysis. And then she starts receiving regular deposits of $1,800. And then when 2019 comes around, she gets a percentage increase. So that's why it's at $1,859. And then as we go towards the end of the middle, we see on the screen here on July 11th of 2019, this is the day that Charles Vallow was killed, and then the deposits keep going. And then on the 12th, Lori had contacted the Social Security Administration to change Tylee's benefits. I think earlier I stated the 16th, but it was the 12th, so I stand corrected on that. The deposits for Tylee into the BBVA account now, since she's no longer receiving them in the JP Morgan. And you see here on the 8th, that's the last proof of life we have for Tylee. We have nothing in our investigation has shown that she is living after this date. And then after, for the month of October, Lori's receiving Tylee's benefits directly into her personal account. And then as you see here on the bottom line here, on June 9th, we find Tylee at the defendant Chad Daybell's property.
Detective, similar to that chart, did you make a chart for J.J. Vallow's survivor benefits and Lori Vallow's mother, child, and care benefits?
I did.
Did you make that in preparation for testifying today?
Yes.
And did you rely on the banking documents that you reviewed in making that chart?
Yes.
Can you look at State's Exhibit 85? Is State's Exhibit 85 the document, the chart for JJ we've been speaking of?
Yes.
And did you create that in anticipation of testifying before the jury?
Yes.
You believe it would aid the jury in understanding these financial transactions?
Yes.
Your Honor, I would ask that for demonstrative purposes only, that State's Exhibit 85 be entered into evidence.
Very well. No objection. So Exhibit 85 is admitted.
And may I publish?
You may.
Detective, can you describe how you made that chart?
Yes, this is a chart depicting JJ's and Lori's, or JJ's Social Security benefits that are going into Lori's BBVA account. Again, the legend on the upper left shows the benefit amount deposited for JJ. Underneath that, you see the color for the amount deposited for Lori. And then the hash mark box shows, but it's not included in the total amount deposit because we believe JJ was alive for that month. So as we go through the chart here, as stated in July of 2011, July 11th of 2019, Charles Vallow was killed in Arizona. Lori applies for benefits in August and starts receiving benefits in September. And this is their first deposit. And as stated earlier, this is not their regular deposit. It's for the back pay when she generated her paperwork to receive the benefits. And then very next box, we see on 9/23, that's our last proof of life for JJ. And then you see the benefits being deposited in. They each were receiving $1,951 per month. So month they received for September and then October. And then you look here on the last one, and then November 5th, this date is important to the investigation because that's the day that Lori Vallow became Mrs. Daybell and married Chad in Hawaii. JJ is still receiving benefits, as is Lori, all the way through to the end of the year and into January. And then the last box, we have the 9th when we found JJ on Mr. Daybell's property.
And Detective, all of those Social Security payments, was it your testimony, those went into Lori's sole BBVA account?
Correct. She had full control over it.
Okay. Detective, can you review pull out State's Exhibit 65? And Your Honor, while he does that, State's 65, the Exhibit 65 itself is a business record affidavit with subparts A through D, where this has a business records affidavit. State's understanding this comes in by way of stipulation.
Mr. Pryor, any objection to 65 and subparts A through D? All right. There is no objection then. Exhibit 65, the electronic business records affidavit, is admitted. Exhibits 65A through D are also admitted.
Thank you. Detective, what is State's Exhibit 65 in general?
The entire exhibit is dealing with Tali Ryan's joint account that her mother opened for both of them to share for the BBVA, and they did that in August 19th of 2019.
All right. And can you look specifically at 65A? Are you familiar with that?
Yes.
What is that document?
This is a summary of accounts. It's the signature page for the application for the account of Tali Ryan that ends in the last four numbers of 5794. And both her and Lori are signers on it.
Okay. And that's through BBVA?
Correct.
When was this account opened?
The 19th of August 2019.
Can you look at State's Exhibit 65B? What is that?
This is a transaction history monthly statement of activity on Tali's account for the BBVA.
And in your investigation, was there anything significant about this document?
Yeah, two things. So one, that Tali was not receiving any more deposits into this account from Social Security, where she was in J.P. Chase Morgan. So any deposits that come into this account are now coming from her mother through transactions within the bank. This particular page we see was created on 8/19, and for the first couple of days, as they are, you know, traveling from Arizona on their move to Idaho, you see again where on out here we have the date of the transaction, but after these post-dates of 9/3, it just shows that this card was used in person only three times, and that was during their move from Arizona to Idaho. They were at three different places. One was in Fillmore, Utah, which is in southern Utah, and it was used at a convenience store. There was one that was used at a Maverick in Perry, Utah. Again, I believe that's still southern Utah. And then there was one that was used in the Wikiup, Arizona. I'm not familiar with geographically where that city is located in Arizona, but it was used on that date. And from there, everything else that we've learned with this account was done online, with the exception of two more dates, one in September and one in October.
All right. Can you look at State's Exhibit 65C?
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.